Family, I mean, there's a whole lot of them. Great day, a huge crowd of people. Let's pray for all of them that God's grace will minister, that God's grace will minister to the children, to Brother Marlon, and to all those family, a huge family. Father, I pray for the Craigs. I pray for, won't try to name all the names of the families, but I pray for every one of them. I pray that your love will be rich and real, the Clarks, everybody connected. I ask the hand of God, and the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, and the touch of God's great and mercy will be with them this afternoon and again at the funeral service tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Now take your Bible and go to one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, which is John 3:16. I did not know when last night the Holy Ghost really poured this sermon into my heart. I did not know for what reason. Now I understand. I want to read this text, and then we'll go to the last chapter in the Bible, which is Revelation 22, and find a similar verse. I don't ever remember tying them together, but I want to this morning. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, would you mind saying that word, whosoever? Everybody? Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And then in Revelation chapter 22, Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Notice that the Spirit and the bride. The bride's already with the Lord. The bride's already been raptured. But even in the raptured, hallelujah state, they know what's going on the earth. And so the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And notice. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Ain't that beautiful? John 3:16, the golden text of the Bible. And the closing announcement from the Lord, the closing word by the Holy Ghost, is let the bride and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, say come. Goes on to say, and whosoever will, let him come. I want to preach this morning on whosoever will, the blood was shed for you. Whosoever will, the blood was shed for you. You may be seated. Father, help me preach this morning by the will of the Lord and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Whosoever will, the blood is for everyone. Whosoever will, the blood of Jesus was for everyone. Now, I got more to preach and I'm going to have time to preach. So I want to start talking to you about the blood. I all night long, and I woke up maybe three times, sleeping so good as the Lord has healed me, just sleeping wonderful. I'm so grateful to God. But every time I woke up, all I could think about was the blood. It kept coming back to me, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the cross, the blood of our Redeemer. And so that really registered in me last night. And I started thinking as I would wake up and have maybe a minute or two, because I would go right back to sleep, I would think about what are all of the great truths about the blood. What, when you think about the blood, do you think about all the great reasons of the blood? All the great powers of the blood? All the great glory of the blood? Do you think? Did you know the blood is the theme of the Bible? God the Father slew an animal in the Garden of Eden to open the way for Adam and Eve to come back into his presence. They were behind a bush or a tree or a shrubbery, and they couldn't come out because they had sinned. And God himself took an animal and slew that animal. The first blood ever spilt was God's action, and Calvary was right in focus. The whole death of that animal was a type of the day when the Lord Jesus would die on a cross. And so that theme, the whole idea of the blood, is like a scarlet cord that starts in that garden and goes all the way to the book of Revelation 22, where the word whosoever will still rings. I was sitting praying and studying a little while ago, and I thought about Calvinism. That doctrine of limited atonement. That doctrine that God's already chose everybody that's going to be saved. And there's nothing you can do about it. And it rested in my head. I never thought about it. The death of Jesus was in vain. He didn't need to die. God had already chose everybody's going to be saved. Now think about that. And so Calvinism, limited atonement, makes the whole idea of the cross a useless experience. Do you understand? Think about that. It overwhelmed me. Here's a major religion that's spreading into churches of every description. It's growing like a weed. It's growing in almost all the big mammoth churches because it's comfortable. It takes away any concern, any fear of God, any sense of the cross, any need for godliness and purity. It destroys every major truth of the Bible. Oh, that's overwhelming to me. I never thought about it like that. But it gripped me. It gripped me this morning as I sit in the office and studied. Well, let me tell you some things about the blood. I hope I can get past this. Maybe I won't. But first of all, the blood of Jesus Christ is supernatural. The blood of Jesus Christ is supernatural. There's no limitation to the blood. Every promise in the Bible is sealed and signed with blood. Every great truth of God is under the auspices of blood, His blood. Not just regular blood, not your blood, not my blood, not the prophet's blood, but Jesus' blood. The divine offering is a supernatural power, and it cannot be defeated. It can't. Can you understand what I'm saying? It cannot be defeated. I don't care how many religions you create that are around the surface and are full of error. It can't be destroyed. That blood will stand the test of time. It'll hold its veracity and its power all the way through the ages. It is absolutely supernatural blood. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Nothing. The blood alone can save a sinner. The blood alone can save a sinner. I don't care who he is. You can know the Bible verbatim. You can be as smart with the Bible as it's possible to be. You can be as religious and pay your tithes and go to church every service and be the witness of a wonderful Christian. But that blood hasn't washed you. If that blood hasn't made a new creature out of you, you're as lost as if you was already in hell. You're lost. Only the blood can save the lost. You got to be washed in the blood. If you're sitting here and you believed in God and you had religion and you've claimed to be saved, but you've never been washed in the blood, please help this pastor in love and tenderness tell you you're lost. You're lost. You've got to be washed in the blood. Everybody that hears that, raise your hand. I want to make sure you take that home with you. Listen to me. Listen, raise your hand if you would. Are you hearing me? Listen to me. If you're not washed in the blood, you're lost. Religion is of no value until you're washed in the blood. The blood has got to wash you. The blood has got to seal your forgiveness. The blood has got to change your life. Do you hear me? I weep when I think about the multitude today who are so religious, it is overwhelming. And you can't get through to their head that they need to be born again. I'm here to tell you, you got to be washed in the blood. Did you hear me? How many heard me? I'm not sure about listening. This is so important to me. I don't want nobody to miss it. You got to be washed in the blood. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you got to be washed in the blood. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be washed in the blood, brother. You got to be washed in the blood, sweetie. You know that. Oh, I love that, Jennifer. God bless you, sir, and that little Jennifer. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you, you got to be washed in the blood. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be washed in the blood. The only thing that will save a sinner, the only thing that can do something about your sins, the only thing that can get you on the solid road, the only thing that can get your feet planted on the rock of ages is the blood. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I got eight of these. Now listen. Until you are washed in the blood, you're lost. Well, that's part of the last one, but I made them separate because they're both so important. Until you're lost, washed in the blood, you're lost. Until you're washed in the blood, you're lost. So important. The blood of Jesus. Now listen, you got to hear this one. The blood of Jesus, when you trust in it, and it is applied by the Holy Spirit, and you are actually washed in the blood, you're a brand new person. You will be surprised at yourself. You will look in the mirror the next day and say, what in the world happened to me? I don't even look like the same person. Look at the smile on my face. Look at the peace I see in my eyes. Look at the transformation I feel in myself. What in the world? Why can I talk that same language I used to talk? What's happened to my cursor? My cursor has disappeared. What's happened to my drinking? My drinking has disappeared. As you see, I'm telling you, the blood makes a new creature out of you. The blood changes you so much. You know, I remember I was 16 when I was saved. I know the church may get tired of some of my memories because they've been coming back at me since I got 60 years old. Well, I meant 83. And so they just keep coming. I remember getting saved on a Tuesday night in the March of 1952. 67 years ago, Francis. I remember getting saved on Tuesday night. I went home, and I'm a farm boy. My dad's a farmer. He let me ride the tractor after he finally got me to stop breaking it all the time. And I'm driving the tractor. And I go down the road to take care of something, and something's not working right. And I get a wrench. And I go up there to fix it. And the wrench slips off. And I skint my knuckles. And I said a word. I won't tell you what I said. It's not a bad word. There are things by the same name all over the world. But I said that word without any cursing with it, without saying God's name with it. I said one little word. And my heart broke. I stood there at that service station and I said, God, please forgive me. I will never say that word again if you'll help me. I've been saved less than 24 hours. I didn't know a Bible verse in the scripture, Brother Danny. But I said one word. You know what was wrong with me? I was a new creature. I was a brand new man. God had sent his blood by the Holy Spirit and washed me from my head to my toe. And I was so new that I couldn't say those slang words anymore. It's pretty good, isn't it, friend? I couldn't say them. All you say, I say them all the time. Well, you need to be washed in the blood. You say, I still cuss and swear. You need to be washed in the blood. I'm here to tell you, when you get washed in the blood, you are a new creature. Now, that's not me quoting. Well, it is me quoting, but it's not me saying it. Paul said it. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's exactly what the blood of Jesus will do for you. That's exactly, and all you got to do is get ready to surrender it to it. You can do it in your car. You can do it sitting there in your pew. You can do it going down the highway in a truck. You can do it on the job. You can do it in the middle of the night. You can say, Lord, wash me in the blood. How about all of us that's doing that right now? Flip your hand up. You could get saved right now. Lord, wash me in the blood. Come on, say it and mean it. Lord, wash me in the blood. And if you feel it happen, jump up and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the blood will wash you and make a new creature out of you. And if you're not a new creature, you ain't been washed. Please don't take that as me being hard. Brother Joe, that's not hard, is it? That's just straight truth. You can be washed in that blood. And when you are washed in that blood, it is so supernatural. It is so mighty. It is so powerful. It is just so awesome that it makes a new creature out of you. Now listen to this. If you, I don't believe in eternal security. Let me settle that. I don't believe a person who gets saved is impossible to backslide. There's been too many cases of too many people who were so genuine, but they backslid. But listen to me. I believe that backsliding is almost unknown in the world of the saved people. I believe when you're washed in the blood, there is a very slim possibility that you will ever backslide. You can. But it is just so seldom. Because when you get washed in that blood, man, you're so brand new. You're such a new creature. You're so absolutely transformed. You're so absolutely made in another person. And suddenly you got joy that you didn't even know existed. You got happiness that you never heard of. You got peace of mind that overwhelms your very being. You're so brand new, and you're so happy, and you're so full of joy, and you're so full of the things of God. You don't want to backslide. Do you know I can say for 67 years I've never wanted to backslide? Never even thought about it. It was absolutely out of my mind when somebody would backslide. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to say it's wonderful to be a Christian? I'm going to do something strange. I'm going to say, if you know and you have the joy of being a Christian, jump up right quick and say, praise the Lord. Come on, all over the building. You can be seated back after you've stood up and said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it with all your heart. Praise the Lord, dear brother. Hallelujah. When you're really saved, you don't want to be no way but saved. You just don't want to be. Talk to me about backsliding. Are you crazy? Man, I got more than the world could ever give me. I got more joy than anybody could ever imagine. My heart and life is happy. He has met my needs for 67 years. I told somebody recently, I've never had to ask the church to give me a dollar, because he's always met my needs. I went to a church to pastor up in Black Mountain, and one man came over to me and he said, Reverend Chambers, now I want to give you a promise. You're going to have some needs here. This church is going to treat you terrible. But every time you have a financial need, if you come over here and tell me, I'll take care of it for you. I looked that man right between the eyes. And I didn't shudder neither. And I didn't turn red when I told him. I just looked at him and said, sir, I will never be here to ask you for nothing, because I serve a God that said to me, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. And so I'm trusting him. And when I get in need, I find me a place to pray, and then I watch for the answer. Hallelujah. And it always comes. Somebody raise their hand and shout hallelujah. I'm talking about being born again. I'm not being washed in the blood, being a brand new creature, being saved. Hallelujah, being saved. Now hold on. I want you to hear everything that the Lord has given me here. So very important. So very important. Hallelujah. Very few people will ever backslide. But here's the next one. Now listen to this. How many of you knew there's a book of life in heaven? How many knew about that book of life in heaven? How many, do you really know about it? This is Jesus' book. God has a book. You see it in Revelation 5. But all through the Bible, you see the book of life that Jesus has. Can I tell you something? Your name, if you're saved, is written in that book with blood. Divine blood. Your name is written in a heavenly book when you are truly born again in the divine blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not starting a new doctrine and telling you that the actual letters are signed with blood. I'm just here to tell you the authority, every bit of the power, every bit of the life, every bit of the redemption, every bit of the authority of your name in that book of life is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now tell me, how in the world can you backslide unless you're so stubborn you want to backslide? You don't backslide accidentally. You don't backslide because somebody hurts your feelings. No, you backslide because something gets in here and you turn, and it won't happen often when you've really been born again. Hallelujah. So if it's ever happened to you, make sure it don't ever happen again. Okay? I'm not being fussy with nobody. I'm just trying to bring you something that I believe will change your life. So the blood of Jesus Christ is the authority by which there is a book in heaven. And in that book is a list of names of all the born again. And it's signed with blood. The authority of it is the blood. The authority of it is the blood. Hallelujah. What a God. What a God. What a God. The blood of Jesus Christ is not religion. The blood of Jesus Christ is the triumph of all eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ is the triumph of all eternity. I don't ever want you to forget that. That blood is above everything of human wisdom. That blood is above everything of human understanding. Brother Joe, that blood is mighty. That blood is mighty. That blood is wonderful. It's the triumph of the ages. Now think about that. The greatest victory that has ever been won was won by a humble Savior who hung between the heavens and the earth, nailed to a tree, hanging there in pain, indescribable, but with a passion that he took your sins and my sins and took them all the way to death. And when death occurred, he went into the heart of the earth and hurried back in 3 days and 3 nights and picked up that body that had been beaten into an absolute parts. He come back and got that body and somebody, I guess the angels did it, kicked that stone away from the door of the sepulcher and he come rushing out. Woo! Hallelujah! The triumph of the ages has just arose from the grave. And he comes out saying, because I live, you can live also. Would somebody say it with me? Because I live, you can live also. What a Savior! What a Redeemer! The blood. The blood. The blood. Raise your hand and say the blood. Come on, say the blood. The blood. Oh, the blood washes away all my sins. All my sins. Makes a new creature out of me. Sometimes Christians sin. Do you understand that? Sometimes Christians sin. I've done so. You say you're telling it with pride? No, with shame. But I'm being honest with you because I know where you are. I face the same devil you face. But you know what I do? When I have sinned, I run to Calvary. The Bible, Jesus said it. Said it through John. He said, children, I write unto you that you sin not. But, notice God, the Holy Ghost can use a but. He did. The Holy Ghost can use a but. I write unto you that you sin not. But, if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. So, Joe, or anybody in this building that sinned in recent days, anybody, I want you to raise your hand if you've sinned and you know you got to take care of it. Raise your hand. Come on. Be honest enough. Put your hand way up. I've sinned. Okay. Now let's do something. Let's run to Calvary together. Let's take off to that tree where the Son of God died and then to the tomb where he came out of that grave on the third morning. And let's say, in the name of Jesus, I am washed from that sin. Say it with me. In the name of Jesus, I am washed from that sin. Right now. Now you can't do it no more. You can't get washed and keep on doing it. I don't mean to point you out. I wasn't doing that to embarrass you. I'm bad for just looking at it and saying straight things, but he understands. You appreciate it. I can say it for me, though, Brother Francis. I haven't sinned recently that I know of, but I'm so frail and such a human being. Sometimes I just pray, Lord, if I have sinned, would you forgive me? Let me see how many of you do that. If I have sinned. Some of you are scared to raise your hand. You're scared we'll accuse you. We are not here to accuse you. Nobody. We're here to love you. We're here to tell you the blood has washed away your sin. Now, one more thing that you've got to hear this about the blood. And this is something has been forgot about too much. You've got to hear me. Every prayer you pray must be in the authority of the blood. You must quit praying and never think of the blood. Are you listening to me? You must quit praying, saints, and never realize you have no authority to pray but by the blood. You're not big enough to pray on your own righteousness. Your righteousness stinks. If you don't smell it, Ask your neighbor, see if they don't smell it. I'm telling you now, listen to me. Listen to me. Your righteousness smells, but His righteousness is wonderful, and we must have His righteousness. Hallelujah. Somebody help me praise the Lord, will you? Now, I preached too long on that, but I want you to never forget that blood. I want the blood of Jesus to become like an umbrella over your head. One time I preached a sermon on living under the umbrella. That's the wrong pronunciation if you don't know. And I did the whole sermon that way. And everybody has teased me about it. How many heard that sermon? Let me see your hand. Brother Martin heard it, sister. There's a few here that heard it. I preached the umbrella. Well, it's umbrella. I get it right? Umbrella. Am I saying it right? You're educated. Am I saying it right? Yeah. And what is that umbrella? It's what I have over my head every time I pray. I have the umbrella of the blood over my head every time I pray. I dare not ask God for anything if I don't ask Him on the authority of the blood. I tell Him, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I don't have anything to merit the answering of my prayers. But there's one who's at the Father's right hand, and He is my advocate. He is my intercessor. He is the name on which I pray. He said to us in very strict tones of obedience. He said, ask my Father anything in my name, and I will do it. And His name means blood. Whew, now, I got to take you a little bit further. And we're going to go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 6. And we're going to look at some verses that are just overwhelming. I got several of these, but I'm only going to go to one of them because of time. The book of Romans. I love Romans. I really do. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the truth of the book of Romans, the great message therein. Go to chapter 6. Get your Bible out. I want you to hear this. I want you to take it home with you. Listen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, what a warning to people who think you can sin anyway. I'll never forget, I was ministering at the prison. We did that for many years. And there was a guard over there that was, he was strictly. We all sin more or less every day. He always was talking about how much we all sin every day. Quit trying to tell people, Reverend, that you can't sin and serve God. I sin all the time. He said, we all sin every day. Well, one day I walked in there, and he was really in despair. He was on steroids. He was in a bad shape. And I walked in, and he said, Brother Chambers, my preacher, he just ran off with a woman. Brother Chambers, my preacher, ran off with a woman. And I said, sir, if I remember right, you told me in convincing terms that we all sin more or less every day. I said, all he did was sin more instead of less. So why are you going all to pieces about it? If you believe we all sin more or less, he just did more instead of less. Well, I did that, of course, to get his attention. And then I prayed with him and cared about him. I was compassionate. I knew that was sad. But I'm here to tell you, when you get really saved, you don't sin more or less every day. And let me tell you why. Listen to this. Now, we're in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 6. Let's read it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into death? Listen. For we have been planted together with Him. Let me read verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you hope, saints. I'm giving you hope if you happen not to be saved. I'm here to tell you, you say, I know what many sinners say. I can't live right. I'm not capable. I'd like to be a Christian, but I can't live right. And you are right. You can't live right. But you get crucified with him. You let him take you to the water and bury you under the power of this resurrection life. And I'm here to tell you, we are dead to sin that we may live no longer therein. Are you ready to live with me in that new life? Are you ready to have that new life? Brother Chambers, you're preaching something I've never heard. Maybe your preacher didn't tell you about the blood. Maybe he didn't tell you how it so totally changes you that you are a brand new person. Well, you got a pastor now telling you that if you'll come to that blood and you'll put your full confidence in that blood and you'll ask him to let his blood wash you from your head to your toes and you'll believe him to take charge of your life, I'm here to tell you that you will be so new. You will be surprised at how pretty you look in the morning. You'll be surprised at how new your face shines. The Bible said he beautifies the meek with salvation. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you the blood will make you shine. The blood will make you shine. If you believe it, raise a hand. The blood will make you shine. The blood will make you shine. The blood will make a new person out of you. And this morning, I want to give you a chance to take that blood and to wholly give yourself to it. I don't want you to get religion. I'm so sick and tired of people getting religion and you don't see them no more for a month. I'm sick and tired of people claiming to be saved and they don't change the way they live. I am tired of that. It is unnecessary. It is wrong. It is totally, totally the work of the enemy. You can be born again. You can be washed in that blood. And you can stand up when he gets through washing you. And you can say, I'm a brand new creature. I'm going to serve God the rest of the days of my life. I'm going to be a different person. Woo, somebody's got to help me. I wish somebody would shout a little bit or something. Would somebody say hallelujah? Come on, Bob, back there, say hallelujah with me, would you? Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the gospel. I have preached the gospel to you this morning. Not some made up religious kind of acceptance stuff. I've just told you the truth. The blood will make a new creature out of you. And when that blood gets to make a new creature out of you, that same blood will search out the book of life in heaven and write your name in that book. Somebody help me. This is exciting to me. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. I've been washed in that blood 67 years. And it gets richer. It gets sweeter. It gets more blessed, Sister Carmen. Hallelujah. It's a joy. If you believe in the blood, would you stand? Brother Joe, can you sing? Hallelujah. Brother Joe, listen to me. Raise your hand now. Close your eyes. I love you, church. I love every one of you visitors. Oh, Brother Marlin's family. Jared, you are just a precious young man. I'm telling you right now, not one of Brother Marlin's children has ever treated me with 1 ounce of disrespect. They've always treated me with the highest, highest expression of respect. Thank you, Marlon. I think that's because of you. Listen to me, church. The blood of Jesus. I mean the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will enable you to live in this world, above the world. Not under it and not in it, but right over it. The Bible said it's using the world, but not abusing it. Pretty good, isn't it, my dear friend? Didn't remember your name, but I like your appearance. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. We are blessed that the blood was shed for us. What would your chambers be? My daddy committed suicide when I was 17. My elder brother committed suicide a few years ago. I've got uncles and cousins that died from all kinds of overdose, all kinds of death. One man was riding his motorcycle and got in between two big trucks and lost both legs. I mean, I can tell you enough stories about my family. I took somebody off of my list this morning that I can't see them no more. And it was one of my sisters. Because for 3 days, all she's talked about is going to the winery and getting wine. And she got chambered. I started to write and say, I almost called her name. I started writing and said, would you take that word chambers out of your name? I just decided I just quit following her. I still got her on where she can hear me. I just can't hear her. That's the wonderful thing about the Facebook is you can get it where you don't hear them and they still hear you. Anybody know you can do that? Let me see your Facebook hand, would you? Hallelujah. Yeah, you keep them listening to you, but you can stop hearing them. So that's what I did. Because I don't want that on my Facebook. I want you to know God will free you from that kind of stuff. You don't need it no more. Amen. Anybody listening, you don't need it no more. Now I want you to pray for somebody. There's somebody in this building that God's dealing with you. And you'd like to be washed. Completely washed by the blood. I mean completely washed. He don't wash you up here or here or here from here to your toes. Every ounce of you. He'll make a new creature out of you. You got to mean it. All you got to do is mean it. All you got to do is give your will over to him. And when you do, he goes to work. And we're going to pray. Father, I love this crowd. I love every visitor. I love those of Brother Marlon's family. I love other visitors here this morning. Thank you for this young man over here on my right. And thank you for two or three others I see, visitors. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for them. And anybody in this crowd that hasn't been washed in the blood, right now, touch their heart. Anybody...
Blood, the blood,
gives me strength.
The blood, nothing but the blood.